Well, tonight we have a very special treat. I imagine that Dr. Powellison had to say no to 100 invitations so he could say yes to this one. His reputation is unparalleled in the biblical counseling world. He is the executive director of CCEF, has written numerous books, articles, is the editor of the Journal of Biblical Counseling, and has been on the biblical counseling scene for so many decades that, frankly, we could call him the Pope of biblical counseling. So whatever he says demands our attention. You know, very few men have influenced the movement to the level that Dr. David Powellison has. And with that level of influence, with that level of popularity, with that level of intellectual horsepower, many fall into the trap of pride. Many believe they're more important than they really are. David, however, has not succumbed to those pressures. He's a humble, kind, gracious man. I once asked one of his doctoral students, who was a graduate, said, "What is it like to see David Powellison counsel?" He said, "David is the most gentle man I have ever met." Now that's high praise, isn't it? One of your students say about you, "You are the most gentle person he's ever met." Well, I've asked him to bring a message of hope and encouragement, so would you please welcome Dr. David Powellison.
Well, I think what Rob really meant to say is I'm old. And I'm going to prove it by talking about things that happened 40 years ago, in fact. But we'll get there in a second. As he mentioned, Rob Green, that young whippersnapper, gave me the task of encouraging you. It's been a long week, but you're about to go back into a big world, a hard world, a world where counseling is hard ministry, it's hard slogging, doesn't get a lot of glory, doesn't happen in public, there's no adulation, nobody ever sees what you do. It's word of mouth that something helpful is going on. And when I think about how we are encouraged, I think in some ways there's two tones of voice, as it were. We've been in the first tone, which is the final tone of all heaven and earth, which is songs of gladness and words of proclamation and shouts of joy. And then there's another tone that's like the whisper in your ear, the illumination of your heart. One of my favorite lines, it's a unique line in all of Scripture. It's in towards the middle of Psalm 25. And it says, "The secret counsel of the Lord is for those who fear Him." And it's a picture of intimate friendship. It's a picture of someone who, in a sense, is whispering in your ear and is talking with you and is speaking of things most dear and most precious and most personal. You've read the title of our session today. Counseling is hard. It's hard for both parties. Both parties. Sit both chairs. It's hard. But it is full of sweet surprises. And we're going to get to that. But I want to actually give to you first some reflections on this conference that, as I've been listening to people and watching, it really struck me that there's something worth saying to you, not only on our topic, which we'll get to, but much more immediately about where we are, what's happening here, and where we are in history. And if you join me in praying, we will then jump in. Our Father, we thank you that the Word of God is something living, that you, what you say rivets into what's happening in our lives now, day by day, individually, collectively, in marriages, in families, in churches, in neighborhoods, in hard relationships, in joyous relationships. And I pray that you would speak to us. And I pray that we, who are your people, who have been loved most wonderfully, most carefully, most relevantly, most tenderly, that we would be encouraged and we would leave here with a song in our heart and with a God to whom we can cry in sorrow, in gladness, in need, and that your people would become a people who are known for caring and for understanding and for actually entering into the troubles and lifting the burdens of those who struggle, those who feel confused, hurt, that life doesn't make sense. Lord, we think of the way in which Jesus is likened to a faithful human high priest who deals gently with the ignorant and the wayward. For he himself is beset with many sins, many weaknesses. He must offer sacrifice first for his own sins and then the people. Lord, we want to be that faithful priest and who at our best we are men and women who need the Savior of the world. And in doing that, we amazingly become in some small way like you. So meet us, help us, encourage us. And we pray in the name of this Jesus who is life from death. Amen. I want to say a word directly to you and even about you. Here are the comments I'm hearing as I have been here, just the last little more than 24 hours, but I've been listening. Here's some of the things I'm hearing from our hosts here at Faith Baptist and from fellow speakers, and it's about you. There's so many people, but it's been an easy group to speak with. It's been an easy group to work with. People are so responsive and relaxed, even. It's an odd thing to say. They're so eager to learn. They seem more mature somehow. They are doing ministry, all kinds of ministry. And then what I heard from an attender was very thoughtful. What I'm hearing has got a balance to it. There's a balance between behavior and the heart. I'd say the vertical dimension and the horizontal. How we live and who we love. What I'm hearing, there's a balance between our sins and our sufferings. It's a hard world, and we are hard people who need a Savior. I'm hearing a balance between God's tender mercies, His promises, and God's commands, that He is at work in us, both the willing and the doing of His good pleasure. I thought that was very interesting. Two interesting things. I'm hearing a balance, a richness, a maturity in the people. I'm hearing a balance, a richness, a maturity in what is being taught and what people are reflecting on. And it got me thinking, because those comments square with things that I'm seeing and hearing in other places also. So what I want to do is begin by giving a 40-year retrospective, a big picture. I actually first encountered biblical counseling. I was 25 years old. I had just come to faith. It was in 1975, and I was less than a one-month-old Christian. And I saw it, and I was working in psychiatric hospital, psych major at Harvard, worked in mental hospital for 4 years. And as a new Christian, I encountered biblical counseling, and it simply made sense. And one of the things I remember, I stayed working at the psychiatric hospital for another 9 months, and one of the things that became a growing frustration was I felt like, I had a little pocket New Testament in Psalms, and I felt like, you know, I am carrying a fountain of living water in my pocket, and it is the only voice that's not allowed to be said. There's something really wrong with this, that that's the one thing that actually gives hope, that comforts the comfortless, and that brings sanity to the confused, and gives hope to those who have no hope at all, and can calm those who are incredibly agitated by how difficult life is and how confused and frustrated they are with themselves. It's the one voice, that fountain of living water, that cannot be heard. Simply made sense. I want you to understand yourself, in a sense. And the second part of what we do, my original talk, is also going to be about you, about a way to understand yourself. I think there's something about understanding yourself that just goes hand in hand with understanding God. The two are correlative to each other. They are reciprocal. They fit. You know yourself better, truly, you know God better. You know God better, truly, you know yourself better. It's God's work with us is tailored to actually meet us as human beings in the life that we live, as the kind of people we are. So I want to give that retrospective, and I'm going to do it by